Well, here we are in our Bible study segment. Ladies, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Okay, where we left Saul yesterday was at the feast that has been prepared, and Saul has been brought to the head of the table, given the choicest portion of the meat, and sat there in front of all of these witnesses by Samuel. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to go through from verse 25 through chapter 10, verse 9 today. And when they came down from the high place into the city, a bed was spread for Saul on the roof, and he lay down to sleep. Then at the break of dawn, Samuel called to Saul on the roof, "Up, that I may send you on your way." So Saul arose, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to pass on before us, and when he has passed on, stop here yourself for a while, that I may make known to you the word of God." Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be the prince over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelza, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys that you went to seek are found, and now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is anxious about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on from there farther and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. After that, you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines, and there, as soon as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now, when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do." When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. Samuel sends the servant away, and then he anoints Saul king. He didn't do this to be secretive. Oil on the head was something that the servant was definitely going to notice, even as Samuel only used a small flask of oil. Still, Samuel takes the time to take Saul apart from everyone else to give Saul this message from God. And what was that message? That God has chosen Saul to be prince over God's people. The word used here for prince is also translated as leader. Even in the act of anointing Saul, God is making a clear distinction between Saul's role and the role of the true king of Israel. Still, Saul is officially anointed king of God's inheritance. What an amazing honor and responsibility. Think about it. Saul is in charge of God's estate, if you will. He is to care for God's inheritance and legacy of people. This is a huge responsibility. It's too bad that Saul didn't really grasp what it meant to care for God's inheritance, as we will see later. But God further emphasizes this to Saul by calling Gibeah, Gibeah of God. This is the only place where it is called that. Usually it is called Gibeah and Benjamin, or even Gibeah of Saul. But the truth is, Gibeah was of God, just as the people were of God. And Saul is being called to remember that all of Israel still belongs to God, not to Saul. Samuel then tells Saul to do what seems best to Saul. Saul is being charged with taking whatever action that Saul feels is necessary if or when the situation arises for him to announce his new position publicly. Wow, I think I'd rather have God do it. God, why don't you go ahead and just make that announcement that you've chosen a king and it's me. I'll stand over here and see what happens. But Samuel ends by telling Saul to go down to Gilgal at some previously decided time and wait a week for Samuel to get there. So Saul knows that he will be seeing Samuel again. They've already made plans to meet up. Saul also knows that Samuel will be there to give Saul God's word and to help guide him through this process. It's already in the works. Especially for Saul, who, as we've seen, knew so little about Samuel or his role as God's prophet, it had to be comforting to Saul to know that he wasn't going to be left by himself. Saul is about to take on a new position created by God for God's purposes, but Saul doesn't really know who God is. Samuel gives Saul three signs to let him know that what he is telling Saul is from God and not from man. All three will come true, not just one, so Saul knows it's not just a coincidence when one thing happens. The second half of the prophecy that Samuel gives Saul in verse 6 would have scared me to death. I'm going to change into a different person? Will I look different? Will I sound different? I kind of am attached to me. I don't know if I like this. But the first part of the prophecy is what really matters. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. God's Spirit will come to rest upon Saul, the chosen king, as king that very day. It is because of and through this Spirit that Saul will become a new man. Just like all of us are changed into new creations when his Spirit lives in us. It's in Ezekiel where God says that he will remove their heart of stone and give them a new spirit. He will remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh for him. This is the self-same Holy Spirit that was placed into Saul. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was present, but not in the same measure that it has now been given to us. In the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out, it was meted out. So here we see specifically that God's Spirit is going to come upon Saul. In the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, it's like the faucet that had been at a trickle was suddenly turned on high and left there. And that's a large part of why we no longer have the prophets like those that were so present in the Old Testament, because we all have access to the Spirit of God within us if we truly are new creations. Now, this whole thing just reminds me that God is always in control, and when we need it, He has always set people to come alongside of us and help when we need the help, if we let them. Sometimes we try to go ahead without God or the help that He has sent for us, and usually we end up on our faces when we do this, stressed, panicked, and trying to figure out how to make things work. Sometimes we ignore the help that has been sent to us in whatever form God sends it, and we just do nothing. Guess what? Doing nothing is still making a choice to do something. Doing nothing isn't the answer either. God still works in amazing ways in our lives, and when He acts, there is no doubt. Take the example that I have of a friend of mine who was selling her house. They waited and waited and waited and watched what they thought to be their dreams slip away. But God had closed the doors for them to do anything but wait and trust Him. When they did, God not only led a buyer to them in His time, but He also blessed the buyers of their home with a buyer for the home that they were trying to sell. They'd been planning on renting it out because they hadn't been able to sell it. And then things were going really smoothly, but there was suddenly a scary hiccup with their financing. That hiccup ended up with them getting a lower interest rate than they'd originally planned. Can you see God's hand in that? Can you see how He protected my friend and her family as they waited and trusted in Him? It wasn't just one thing that worked out for them. It was every aspect. It was amazing. So rest in His arms and rest in His leading. Talk to Him daily, and when you feel Him leading you, trust Him. Let Him take the reins and watch what happens. He is in control of the whole universe. Do you really think that he's not in control of your circumstances too? Be ready to act. There will be action required on your part when he tells you to act, and enjoy the blessings he has already given to you.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.